Honor, Chung Rong.
I want to talk this afternoon about Yahweh's eternal work from Jerusalem.
Jerusalem
is a bridge from earth to heaven.
Jerusalem point the Jerusalem,
and we know from the Bible and other sources that the Garden of Eden was in Jerusalem. One of the four springs they talk about in Genesis in the Garden of Eden was the Gihon spring. And it's still there today. The Tabernacle of David that I spoke to you about this morning is right above the Gihon spring. And when you understand that the Garden of Eden was in Jerusalem, so many things make sense. And all of Yahweh's eternal promises come from Jerusalem. Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, says, "And Yahweh had said to Abram, 'Go out from your land and to your kindred and from your father's house to the land I will show you.'"
And
I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And curse the one despising you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then we go to the next chapter, chapter 13. In verse 14. And after Lot had separated from Abraham, Yahweh said to Abram, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look north and south and east and west. For all the land you see, I will give to you and your seed always. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your seed will also be counted. Rise up, walk through the land in its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and came to live among the oaks of
Mamre,
which was in Hebron.
Hebron.
And he built an altar to Yahweh there. The bones of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in Hebron to this day. So we clearly see that Israel is the promised land. There's no other country or place on earth that Yahweh gives eternal promise than Israel. And out of Israel, he chose one city of Israel to dwell there. If you go to 2 Chronicles 12, in verse
13,
it says, "King Rehoboam, the son of
Solomon,
made himself strong in Jerusalem, and he reigned. For Rehoboam was a son of 41 years when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in
Jerusalem,
the city that Yahweh chose to put his name there." So we don't see any other city but Jerusalem where Yahweh puts his name. Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Starting in verse starting in verse 2.
Atua unaga bus rau. Nyangone cho wa rau bus rau.
You shall completely destroy all the places where the nations which you are dispossessing serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills, under every leafy tree. You shall break down their altars and shatter their standing pillows. You shall burn their Asherahs with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their gods. And shall destroy their names out of their place. You shall not do so to Yahweh your Elohim. But you shall seek to the place that Yahweh your Elohim will choose out of your tribes. To Jerusalem.
Why in Jerusalem?
For you shall seek his dwelling to put his name there. And you shall go there. And you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. And your tithes. And your heath offerings. Of your hand. And your vows and your free will offering. And the firstlings of your herd and your flock. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your Elohim. And shall rejoice in all you put your hand to do. You and your household which Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today. Each person is doing right in his own eyes. For you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which Yahweh your Elohim is giving to you. And it's the same today. The promises of Yahweh we're speaking of are wonderful promises. But we haven't got there yet. We're still working toward the promises. And that's why Yahweh says you have to work within judicial order. You can't do every man doing what's right in his own eyes. But we all have to surrender ourselves to the will of Yahweh. And then after this, Yahweh talks about keeping the feast in Jerusalem. In verse 12, you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim. You and your sons and your daughters. And your male slaves and your female slaves. And the Levite that's within your gate. Because he has no portion or inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you do not do. And offer your burnt offerings in every place you see. But in the place that Yahweh will choose out of all your tribes, Jerusalem. There you shall offer your burnt offerings.
And we need be much wanga to show something.
And you shall do all that I command you. So Yahweh doesn't accept any form of worship. He has a structure. There's many Christians here that are worshiping incorrectly. They keep Christmas and Easter and pagan things. Now it's not against the people. They may be very nice, loving people. The problem is they lost the road to Jerusalem. See, the law will go forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And that's why I say Jerusalem is almost between heaven and earth. And that's what I want to show you, that Yahweh brings his word from Jerusalem to all the nations. But the churches that lost the road to Jerusalem, they're going to end up in all the wrong places. And all the wrong places of worship. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times in a year all your males shall appear before
Yahweh,
your Elohim, in the place he shall choose,
Jerusalem.
In the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the Feast of Weeks. And the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh. When Israel lived in the land of Israel, the greatest blessing of the year was for all the people to come up to Jerusalem at feast time. And just like you, they would work very hard in their fields. And they would pray to Yahweh for rain. And then when Yahweh would give them the rain and they got the food, the whole country would come to Jerusalem to honor and worship
Yahweh.
But our forefathers were not faithful. All the tribes of Israel, Dan and Naphtali and Simeon and Zebulun, they were not faithful to Yahweh. And they didn't listen to this word. And they followed false gods. And Yahweh allowed them to go into the nations. And they went into diaspora all over the world. And one of the worst punishments of diaspora, that they couldn't appear before Yahweh at feast time. And that's why now you keep your feast here. But if we look at Isaiah 33, in verse 20, he says, behold Zion, the city of our holy day meetings. Your eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tent that shall not be moved. Speaking about the tent of David that we talked about this morning. Its stakes shall not be pulled up forever, nor any of the cords be pulled off. So even though you're doing your best, keeping the holy days here, the goal is to get to Jerusalem. That's where Yahweh works from. Psalm 135
and
verse 21. Thank you. Says, blessed be Yahweh at
Zion.
He who dwells at Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's where Yahweh dwells, that's where Yahweh lives. People ask me, can we pray to Yahweh all over the earth?
I say,
of course, you could pray to Yahweh anywhere you live. But when you pray to Yahweh in Jerusalem, it's not long distance, it's local call.
Okay. yawodi e palgon di alwimon duno mo palle e Jerusalem ke gwama nanan kere melarani yodre we den ke telepon did me mi yodre we dun you son
that's it that's good yeah
Jerusalem has always been Yahweh's eternal capital
Jerusalem ni chang ni ne man wala ni chang jere ya muktab
And that's why when people ask us, what authority do we have? We got Jerusalem. Now, in Old Testament times, if there was a problem that people couldn't solve, what does the Torah tell us to do? Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 8. If a matter is too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between cause and cause, or between stroke and stroke, matters of strife within your gates, then you shall rise up and go to the place Yahweh will choose, Jerusalem. And you shall come into the priest of the Levites and to the judge who is in those days and you shall inquire. And they shall declare the word of judgment to you. And you shall do according to all the word they declare to you from the place Yahweh chose,
Jerusalem.
And you shall be careful to do according to all they direct you. You shall do according to the mouth of the Torah which they direct you. And according to the judgment which they deliver to you. You shall not turn aside to the right, from the word to the right or to the left. And the man who acts with pride, so as not to listen to the priest who is standing to serve Yahweh, your Elohim from
Jerusalem,
or to the judge, even that man shall die. And you shall cut off the evil from
Israel.
And the people shall hear and fear and shall not pursue
him.
So it's very simple. Yahweh says when there's a problem, you come to his headquarters to Jerusalem for the answer. And the answer he gives you, you don't look right or left, you follow straight from the
Torah.
It doesn't say to follow if you like the answer. It simply says to follow because judicial order in the Torah comes from Jerusalem. So did anything change in the New Covenant? Let's go to the book of Acts. The 15th chapter. Verse 1. And going down from Judea, some taught the brothers, saying, unless you are circumcised in the manner of the Torah, you cannot be saved. Then dissension and not a little disputation with them having taken place by Paul and Barnabas, they appointed Paul and Barnabas and some of the others of them to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this question. So again, this is a problem happening in the nations. They couldn't come to a decision. And they come to Jerusalem, Yahweh's headquarters, for the answer. And let's go to verse 13 and see what happens. And after they were silent, Jacob responded, saying, "Men, brothers, hear me." Simon recounted that even as at first Yahweh oversaw to take a people out from among the nations for his name. And with this agree the words of the prophet as it has been written. After these things, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And I will build again the things which have been demolished. And I will set it up. So again, tabernacle of David coming from Jerusalem. So verse 19 now. For this reason, I judge not to trouble those from the nations turning to Yahweh. But I write to them to hold back from pollutions of idols. And from fornication, and things strangled, and blood. For in every city from ancient generations, Moses has those proclaiming him, having been read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with all the congregation, to send chosen men from them to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas, Judas having been surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, writing by their hand these things. The apostles and the elders and the brothers, to those throughout Antioch and Syria, and Cilicia, brothers from the nations, greeting. So this is coming from the authority of Jerusalem to the nations. He says, since we heard that some of us having gone out have confused you with words agitating your souls, saying, be circumcised to keep the Torah, to whom we gave no command. Because of this, we deliberated all of us to send chosen men to you, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have given up their souls on behalf of the name of the Master Yeshua. So very clearly, the directive came from Jerusalem. Acts 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the need to keep the decrees that had been determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. So they didn't say that they make their own doctrine. No, the Torah came from Zion.
What make a Zion?
And then people that get the message in the nations, they have to embrace the message coming from
Jerusalem.
And then those who are mature in the faith and are doing a good work, and they're following the word from Jerusalem, they may be ordained in the local congregation. But it's not to bring a new doctrine. Like he says here, it's the doctrine coming from Jerusalem. It says, then indeed the congregations were being made stronger in the faith.
Kawaka talk you do all you bomb along ringasa.
And increased in number day by day.
Kachu rode in Chariqui Chang Chang, Kaneti Piben.
This is your congregation.
I didn't only came a time.
Your congregation is growing daily because you're following the word from Jerusalem.
Go Gurian Mambo Jerusalem, I didn't feel good or loon Chang Chang.
Is the Church of God growing like this? No. The Church of God is like the Sardis Church. It's becoming a dead church.
Church of God.
Because they lost the road to Jerusalem. In Mark
3 and verse 14,
it talks about Yeshua ordained 12 men. He ordained 12 apostles. And those apostles went and ordained others. And those apostles went and ordained others. All the way until today. I want to read you a quote from the book I was reading you last night. Showing you that always the elders in Yahweh's congregation, they all knew there was an unbroken line of
ordination.
There's a man called Wiley who wrote about this history hundreds of years ago. And he says it continues to be an accepted fact that the Waldenses were a link of the unbroken chain of ordination. Of the true remnant congregation from Yeshua and the apostles. Behind the ramp of the mountains, did the remnant of the early apostolic congregation of Italy kindle their lamps? And here, did that lamp continue to burn all through the long night, which descended on Christendom? There is a single concurrence of evidence in favor of their high antiquity. Their traditions invariable point to the unbroken descent from the earliest times as regards to their religious belief. So the reason why Yeshua ordained 12 was he taught them the doctrine. Yeshua had a ministry for several years. He didn't have to do that to die for our sins. Dying for our sins only took several hours for him to die. But he had a ministry for several years because he had to train the doctrine to those elders, to those apostles. And then he told them in Matthew 28, go ye in all the world and take this doctrine from Jerusalem to the nations. Most of the Christian churches today, they have the doctrine from Constantine, the Roman Empire. They don't have the doctrine from Jerusalem. And that's what makes us different. And clearly the history says that there's been an unbroken chain from Yeshua till today of this ordination. Can you imagine Yeshua's hands were on the 12's head, the 12 apostles?
DHR, Lono and Yachua, we took a lot of one and then down.
And their hands were on others' heads.
He got down where took your lono, let one and then go can.
And their hands on other heads.
And no, you know, Kong took in your let one and then go can, Lalderi.
Until modern times when Elder Duggar was ordained.
And many times, man, make sure Elder Duggar had been ordained, but you are to love we there.
And then Bartholomew, who he ordained.
Bartholomew, but make your ordained and Duggar.
And then those hands went on my head.
And then in Arabic, you will have been we there, but you have been ordained.
And those hands on Elder Quill and the other elders here. No other congregation in the world has that. No other congregation in the world has an unbroken line of ordination from Yeshua until today. And no other Sabbath keeping congregation, commandment keeping congregation, has its headquarters in Jerusalem. For the ones who want to reject Jerusalem, what else do they have? You're left with nothing. You're just like any of these other false churches out there. This is why I said Jerusalem is the bridge from heaven to
earth.
Because Yahweh made sure that our congregation would never lack in the true doctrine or the true elders. Luke 24. Yeshua said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you, yet being with you. That all things must be fulfilled, having been written in the Torah of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms, concerning me. Then he opened up their mind to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, so it is written, and so the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and remission of sins must be preached on his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things.
You are.
You're sitting here today as witnesses. There's only one doctrine. There's only one faith. There's one Messiah. There's one Father in heaven. And there's one Jerusalem. Psalm
137.
Because there's people sometimes in Western society that are living in Babylon, that Babylon has got into their brain. And we have something in Jerusalem we call Jerusalem
Syndrome.
People come and say, I'm the two witnesses. Some say they're Elijah the prophet. Several men came and said they're Jesus Christ. I even met a woman who said she was God. When I ask her, why would you think that you're the creator? She said, someone has to do it. The ironic part, they're always Americans. They're always Babylonians.
Babylon.
Because there's a lot of pride in Babylon.
Could Babylon take a liang medi?
But the word picture, what Babylon means from the Hebrew,
Babylon ke Hebrew mulu de,
is confusion. Confusion. The word Babylon means confusion. And literally from the letters, it's when there's two heads of the family. And many of the women in Babylon, they want to be the leader of the family. They're like Amazons.
Amazon.
And it's not very good. So we appreciate the ladies in Africa. We appreciate you ladies here in Africa.
Africa.
And the good example that you set. We had two of the sisters who were just with us in Jerusalem. And they really set such an example for all the people there. In Psalm 137, it says, there by the rivers of Babylon we sat down. Also we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres on the willows in its midst. For there our captors asked us the words of a song.
Yea,
our plunderers asked joy, saying, sing to us a song of Zion. How shall we sing the song of Yahweh on foreign soil? If I forget you, O
Jerusalem,
let my right hand forget. If my tongue cleave to my palate, if I do not remember you, if I do not bring Jerusalem above the head of my joy. All the redemption is from Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
And like I said, when you lose Jerusalem, you have very little left to the good news message. Even when Yeshua had to die, he said, can a prophet die anywhere else but Jerusalem? Ezekiel 36.
Right, go on Ezekiel, gender with a buckle.
Because I already read you some scriptures. Is that Jerusalem is where the tribes of Israel would come up for the holy day meetings. And yet we said because of Israel's disobedience, Yahweh sent them out into the nations. But we know in the end time, Yahweh is bringing the nations back to Israel. In Exodus 36 and verse 24,
Ezekiel,
he says, for I will take you from the nations.
Verse 24.
Yes, I will take you from the nations. And gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your land, into Israel. And in verse 38, he says, like a holy flock, like the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast, so the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men. And they will know that I am
Yahweh.
Our congregation is fulfilling this scripture today. For the last 15 years, Yahweh has blessed us to host the feast in Jerusalem for all the tribes of Israel living in diaspora like yourself.
Israel
Every year,
run karun,
we get brethren between from 20 to 30 different nations.
Run karun lane na the body duri, ticho gwejere ogo jendio kawi wimon.
And it's very exciting to come there and meet your brethren from all over the world. So I give you all invitation to come to Jerusalem.
Psalm
122. A song of ascents of David.
Melono edit David.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of
Yahweh.
Our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is joined to itself. I explained that this morning.
Jerusalem lono chedegawi michalot galat kel chemela yemenan.
There the tribes go up.
And we need la dora within.
The tribes of Yah. To the testimony of Israel.
Israel.
Give thanks to the name of Yahweh.
In verse 7
or verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Those who love you will prosper. Peace within your walls, prosperity in your towers. So we see Yahweh is fulfilling this scripture. In Babylon, there's only confusion. But in Jerusalem, there's order. Joel chapter 2.
Joel Chokorau.
Blow a ram's horn in Zion. Shout an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all those living in the land tremble. For the day of Yahweh approaches, it is near. It is a day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn spread on the mountains, a great and strong people. There has never been the like. Nor will there ever be again to the years of generation to generation. Drop down to verse 15. Blow a shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Drop down to verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of
Israel.
And that I am Yahweh your Elohim. And there is no other. And my people shall not be ashamed. And it shall be afterwards, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and the slave girls in those days. And I will give signs in the heavens and the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before the coming and great and awesome day of Yahweh. For it shall be all who call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. For salvation will be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh had said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh will call. So in the end time, salvation is in Jerusalem. Let's go to chapter 3. In verse 17.
Bas wal bro.
And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, dwelling in Zion.
Kebieng ayo, biayang ayan Yahweh, melai Elohim dun min cheng ke Zion.
My holy mountain.
Melapam de merero.
And Jerusalem shall be a holy thing.
Kebi Jerusalem a merero.
And strangers will not pass through her.
Kebi cijuro binyok osin enyok.
In verse 21, and I will cleanse their blood which I did not cleanse. And Yahweh is dwelling in Zion. Our Heavenly Father Yahweh is alive and well. And like He says in the end time, He is working through Zion. He's raised up in end time work. He's using me as his ambassador to go to the nations. And he's recognized this work even with the reigning government of Israel. Micah 4. We'll go back there again. But it will be in the end of the days, the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it will be lifted up from the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations will come and say, come! And let us go to the mountain of Yahweh.
Yeah, wanna we palm Yahweh.
And to the house of the Elohim of Jacob.
Wanna dwell Yahweh Elohim Jacob.
And he will teach us from his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For the Torah will go forth from Mount
Zion.
And the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem.
And verse
7, and I will make the lame into a remnant. And her who was removed into a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from now and forever. Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter. In verse
7.
And to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia write, these things say the Holy One, the true One, the one having the key of David, the one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have given a door being opened before you. And no one is able to shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word. And have not denied my name. We're not a work that has millions of dollars. We're not a work that has a lot of different finances. But Yahweh is blessing our ministry because we're going out in truth and in sincerity. And we're not adulterating the message. We're taking the doctrine of Jerusalem and we're bringing it through all the earth. In Revelation 7, in verse 7,
and verse 4,
it says, I heard the number of those having been sealed. 144,000. Having been sealed of every tribe of the sons of Israel. These are 144,000 of what is called the first fruits. These are the faithful people in the end time that Yahweh is protecting. In chapter 14, verse 1, And I saw Mount, I saw and behold Mount, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him were the 144,000. Having the name of his father having been written in their foreheads. Has anybody here ever thought of who these 144,000 are? People ask me all the time, it's question, who is the 144,000? When I was here 2 years ago, I did a message after that on who are the 144,000. I don't know all the names of all 144,000. But I believe with all my heart that I'm looking at some of the 144,000. You have been a testimony to brethren all over the earth. Many of you have suffered through horrible hardships I can't even imagine. But you haven't complained. You haven't lost your faith. The opposite, your faith has gotten stronger. And the zeal I see here today is like I've never seen anywhere in the world. So I've been telling Yahweh's people, prepare, get ready. Because world war is coming very quickly. And Babylon the Great is going to fall. And the whole world will be in chaos. But the same way that Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt, is the same way Yahweh is preparing a road for you back to Israel. If you would have talked to a Jewish person back in 1938, when the Holocaust was going on,
and
Hitler was trying to kill every Jew on the earth, and 6 million Jews were being burned in ovens, if you would have told them, in just a couple of years, you'll have a nation again, it would have seemed like a fantasy, like a dream. How could only in a few years Israel be a nation from the Holocaust? And yet it wasn't a dream. It was reality. May 14th, 1948. Yahweh fulfilling his prophecy. And our brother Judah is back in the land. Israel's a nation again. And I tell you today, as his servant sitting before you, he is preparing that road to Zion. So get yourself ready. Pray without ceasing. Study your Bible every day. Take the good news to your neighbors. And be ready, because Zion is just around the corner. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.